The Money Show. The Markets.
To Chris Stewart, our market commentator this evening. Chris is a portfolio manager at 91. Let's talk about this alliance deal with Sanlam. We've done quite a lot of the groundwork on this deal already this evening, Chris Stewart. I wonder whether Alliance has got far bigger fish to fry than simply a joint venture with Sanlam in its non-South African markets. I wonder if 5-10 years from now, Allianz makes a pitch for the whole of Sanlam at some point. It is the world's biggest insurance company, after all.
Yeah, I mean, let's see where it goes, Bruce. I think the market taking some comfort that Sanlam are not going out and buying Allianz's operations across the continent. I think that might have been one of the residual concerns out there. So the fact that this is truly a joint venture, with Allianz committing to take 40% of the joint venture and to stay in there for a 10-year period and potentially increasing their stake to 49% over time, means that there is some intent to work together. They probably don't know what the end game exactly looks like right now either. But, you know, certainly it creates a fairly formidable force across the continent, by far the biggest insurer across the African continent now. And, you know, let's see where it goes and whether Allianz has, you know, further interest in expanding that into a share in Sanlam's South African business. I think that's a long way away, Bruce, for now, to be honest.
No, okay. No, it's just interesting to see how the dynamics are changing. It was Sanlam, of course, that moved in and bought Saham, the North African insurance company. And it just feels like this continent is ripe for deals and ripe for consolidation. And clearly, this is what these insurers are looking at.
Yeah, I mean, you know, South Africa is a highly penetrated market from an insurance perspective. If you look at premium, you know, gross premium income to GDP, as a measure. Now it's somewhat skewed by the fairly skewed income distribution in South Africa. But, you know, even taking that into account, there's a high degree of insurance penetration in this country. As a consequence of that, South African insurers are naturally looking abroad for expansion opportunities, and where better to look than north on a continent where at least there's some element of potential competitive advantage rather than disappearing off into emerging markets, or God forbid, developed markets across the globe, where we've seen South African financial services companies typically take something of a bath.
Absolutely, and it's happened time and time again. Big decision today. I think we know the outcome, but I wonder what the consequence is of the US Fed, for the first time in a decade and a half, beginning to really seriously change its view on interest rates. Interest rates have been kept artificially low, perhaps, since the global financial crisis. They've made several attempts at raising interest rates and have balked at any significant moves. But now with inflation over 7%, they've got no choice. They're going for 50 basis points later on today, are they?
Yeah, I think, Bruce, I think we must conclude that 50 basis points is the central thesis for today. I'd be surprised if they did more, and even more surprised if they did less. So let's sort of pencil in 50 basis points for now. I think what's much more important is the outlook for rates and the extent to which they are going to be more aggressive or perhaps less aggressive than the market is currently pricing in. There's also a $9 trillion balance sheet that needs to be reduced over time. How's that going to be done? What's the potential impact of, if you like, the opposite of quantitative easing, quantitative tightening, if you like? What's that impact going to be on financial markets? Is a degree of uncertainty. And it does feel a little bit as though the Fed have found themselves behind the curve. Certainly Jamie Dimon, I saw the chief executive officer of JP Morgan, arguably the biggest bank in the world, standing up today, and he's a little bit concerned that the Fed are somewhat behind the curve.
Behind the curve, in other words, they haven't been aggressive enough early enough in terms of interest rates, and that's raising fears of a more aggressive interest rate cycle, which of course then threatens to destabilize the stability of global financial markets, which have been remarkable for years.
Remarkable for years, somewhat less remarkable year to date, and looking somewhat vulnerable at the moment. You know, clearly there's concerns around inflation and the interest rate response that elicits. The sort of magic elixir of very loose monetary conditions since the global financial crisis 14 years ago now has been very supportive for asset markets. That's certainly no longer there. It does look as though global economic growth, certainly many developed markets, remains quite positive. The US market earnings coming out of the market has been fairly decent. But there's also, you know, additional big concerns out there. One is geopolitical risk as it manifests, particularly in the oil price. And we saw with Europe making further moves today towards weaning themselves off Russian oil, market discounting, you know, further supply constraints in terms of oil for the next, certainly for the foreseeable future. That's got the oil price going again today, and that, you know, renews inflationary concerns. But also we've got, you know, a draconian response taking place in China with regard to COVID. That's resulting in fairly material ongoing supply chain disruptions globally, and that's contributing further to the global inflationary concerns. The war in Ukraine, apart from impacting the oil price, also impacting some of the major soft commodities globally. And if that conspires to result in further food price inflation, that just adds to the mix too. So there's plenty out there to keep markets on edge right now.
Yeah, plenty to worry about. Is there much to worry about in the gold sector? We've got some snippets out of DRD and AngloGold Ashanti.
Yeah, we got a quarterly production update out of DRD this morning. You know, talking to modest decreases in production over the last quarter, you know, mildly increasing yield and something of a decrease in tons milled of ore, or tailings, should I say. And that's resulted in a small decrease in production there. Nothing too significant. What I think perhaps a little bit more significant, we saw Barrick Gold in their quarterly update today indicating that they had managed to get more than $500 million out of their Kibali mine in the Democratic Republic of Congo. They've been struggling to get liquidity out of that operation. And why that's significant to us? Well, who's the JV partner of Barrick in the DRC? And that is AngloGold. AngloGold long trading at a discount to some of the other gold stocks globally due to concerns over you know, specific risks pertaining to some of its operations. If they can share in that bounty, get $500 million out of the DRC as well, that's about 6.5% of their market capitalization and may well start to contribute to their ability to distribute dividends to shareholders, as well as unlocking some of the discounts at which they trade. I think they've got a trading update coming up early next week, at which time I guess all will be revealed, Chris.
Chris Stewart, thank you very much indeed. Chris is a portfolio manager at 91.